I want to thank Rabbi Kreder for giving me the schus to speak to you this morning. The last time I was here speaking to Shana Bet was Hanukkah 11 and a half years ago. I was in charge of Shana Bet 23 years ago, 4 years, from 97 to 2000. So I want to talk about, we spent 2 years here in the Tivarie learning and growing, and it's not possible that you're sitting here after 2 years and you're not a different person than you were when you came here 2 years ago. And how we can take, first of all, what did we gain from this year, these years in yeshiva, and how can we take it further, take it with us back to Chutz Laretz. So I'll start with a small, very personal story. So I'm a Queens boy. I married a teenage girl. She went to a school called Frisch. Some of you may have heard of it. And we got married in Teaneck. And for our wedding, we got a lot of money. It was around $30,000. Everyone's investing. I don't know anything about money. I don't know anything about investing. And everyone's making tons of money. And I'm watching my money sit in the bank getting 0.001%. So I called a friend of mine. I said, everyone's making money. I also want to make money. I want to invest $25,000. He said, okay, I'm using this broker. I made a lot of money. It gives you the name of a broker. I invest $25,000. Within 6 months to a year, I get a letter from the broker with a check. There's a few hundred dollars in the check. I'm sorry, sir. You no longer have enough money to have an account with us. I lost $25,000 of my wedding money. If you lose what you gained the last 2 years in yeshiva, you've lost far more than $25,000. We have many mishnayos that talk about shnayim shehen arba. I'm going to talk about arba shehen sheish, four things that we hopefully picked up in yeshiva over the last couple of years that we should take with us. Now, while we're here in yeshiva, we're learning, we're growing. One of the boys sitting in this room told me yeshiva is a bubble. And really, we should get out of the bubble. We don't really belong living in a bubble. Life is not about a bubble. So the truth is that we are in a bubble here, and this is not the real world. We'll talk about the real world in a second. But this bubble is very important because this is the bubble that prepares us and trains us and teaches us where we're learning and growing, and this is a training ground for going on to live the rest of our lives as B'nai Torah. Now, we all started in a bubble in our mother's womb, 9 months, for that baby to be ready to come into Olam Hazeh. And even the baby comes in, the baby can't do very much, but at least the baby is able to come into Olam Hazeh. If the baby leaves the bubble too early, God forbid, it can be tragic. Baby's got to stay in that bubble for 9 months. So I'm not saying how long we have to stay in the bubble, but we've been mezokah to be in that bubble now for 2 years. And that bubble is training us and teaching us and solidifying our foundation, laying the foundation, solidifying the foundation so we can take the years in yeshiva with us as we continue to go. And the emphasis are those that explain this is parsha, the Chet HaMeraglim. The Meraglim were Gedolei Yisrael. How could they speak Lashon Hara against Hashem and Eretz? They saw all the Nisim. God can't take us into Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim, they're in a bubble. In the Midbar, they're in a bubble. They're in a Kailah. The Yeshiva serves them every Sunday, sunny side up. Every Monday, pancakes. Every Tuesday, scrambled eggs. Every Wednesday, French toast. Every Thursday, hard-boiled eggs. That's what it was like in the Midbar. Someone does the laundry for you and someone gives you food. You have the man, you have the bear, Miami, you have everything. You're taken care of. What's going to happen? We're going to go into the real world. We're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's all going to stop. Then we have to work for a living. We've got to go to school. Got to go to work. And the Meraglim were nervous. We won't be able to handle that. We want to stay in the bubble. Now, there Hashem said, okay, guys, time to leave the bubble. Time to go into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, they're speaking against their idea. Maybe they had good intentions, but they, obviously they were wrong. They went against Hashem. So that bubble, we're about to leave that bubble. Some of us might be coming back. Some of us not. But this is an important bubble. Now, the first thing I think we need to take with us is a focus, is a perspective on life. What does it mean we're going to the real world? When I was younger, I didn't like real world. I said, no, yeshiva's real world. Then I realized, no, yeshiva's not real world. Real world, what is the world? World is olam. Olam is milashon ne'elam. Ne'elam means hidden. The real world is a real hidden world. The real world, bottom line, is a game of hide and seek. Hashem is hiding, and we are supposed to be seeking. But Hashem is a good hider, and we're not such good seekers. But that's Olam Hazeh. It's the real world is a game of hide and seek, and we get distracted. And there's a lot going on, and we lose focus. There are ball players getting paid millions of dollars. Baseball players, all the ball players, they keep an eye on the ball. There's a lot of distractions. There's the stands, there's the crowd, there's the guy selling peanuts and beer, there's the cheerleaders. There's a lot of things to distract the ball player, but he knows he's getting paid millions of dollars to focus on the ball, not on the boos or the yays or the cheerleaders or the peanuts or the beer. He has to focus on that ball. That's why he's getting paid millions of dollars. Our ball is Hashem, is Torah, is mitzvahs. I said this over to Hashem Aleph Shir, and the Rebbe pointed out, the first letter of the Torah is a base, the last letter of the Torah is a lamed, ball! Okay. We have to keep our eye on the ball. I want to read to you a line from Orchas Yosher, Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Musar Sefer. He quotes his father, you might be familiar with the Sefer. He has here an incredible line that he quotes from his father, the Stipler. So he's talking about B'nai Torah should not be involved in anything except for learning Torah. While they're in their informative, they're learning years in yeshiva. Ki kedushas ha-Torah kodemes lakol. The holiness of the Torah comes before all. Ki hi tachlis briyas ha-olam. This is the purpose of the creation of the world. Ubizchusa, and in the merit of the Torah, anu kayamin. We exist for b'schus ha-Torah. Okay, these are very powerful words. And we have to stay focused on these words and focused on the importance of learning and not be distracted. And we'll go back to America and people are going to make fun of us and they're going to tell us that we're brainwashed. And I always get a big chizuk that the first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch talks about the mal'igim, the people who make fun of you. Don't pay attention to the people who make fun of you in your service of Hashem. And I'm thinking, well, the phenomenon of going to Israel for a year probably started around after the Six Day War, 1967. Around 50 years ago, why is the Ramah, who's probably quoting the Torah, who's probably quoting Rishonim, hundreds and hundreds of years ago talking about the people who are making fun of me that I flipped out in Israel? So you see, they've been making fun of the Frum Jews for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And I always get a chizik from that. And we have to be strong. We have to understand what's right. We have to be proud of what we're doing. Now, I was recently thinking, these people making fun of us, friends, relatives, their ancestors literally gave their lives for Torah. In fact, one of the most outspoken anti-Torah people in the world, his name is Yair Lapid, and last week he announced that he's a descendant of the Shloha HaKadosh. He says, the Shloha's not so happy with me. But we're happy with him. That's what I said in the article. He's not so happy with me. So we can't be distracted and take what they take seriously. We have to have self-confidence. We have to understand that we're right and we're doing the right thing. We have to act respectfully. We shouldn't shove our religion in people's faces and grab chumros, and you know, we have to act appropriately. Obviously, I had a student in Aish whose mother hired an anti-missionary, a cult deprogrammer, to sit with him for 12 hours. A cult deprogrammer. That was the worst I've ever heard. I never heard of a Nativ Aryeh parent doing that. And he was strong, and he ended up marrying a Frum girl, whose grandfather happens to be a very big Rav, and he's now learning half a day, and working half a day, and when we're strong, and we do what's right, in the end, those people who are attacking us and making fun of us, if we're respectful, and we do what's right, we do what Hashem wants, they will eventually come to respect us, and I've seen this countless, countless times. So we have to be focused on what's right. We also have to be focused on world events. Hashem is speaking to us. This has been a crazy year. Say it mildly. We've had Corona. We had Meron. We had the bleachers. We had missiles. We had a cable car in Italy crashing, killing 5 Israelis. It's Hashem Yirachem. It's nonstop. It very scarily looks like the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Ta'anios, which you can look at for homework. And Hashem is talking to us, and I heard a great word that's probably famous, but I'll say it b'shem Omro and bring Gula la'olam. I heard it from my daughter-in-law at the Shabbos table a few weeks ago. She said, we don't ask lama, we don't ask why, we ask lima, for what purpose? What can we gain from this? What can we learn from this? Now, my daughter-in-law has had a very difficult childhood. She's married to my foster son who lost both his parents before his bar mitzvah. So here you have a couple telling me, we don't say lama, we say lima. And when I heard it from her, it was like super inspiring. Like she has not had it easy. He got married 2 years ago with not a relative, his bar mitzvah, no relatives, no one there. He doesn't have parents, doesn't have siblings, doesn't have grandparents, doesn't have nothing. And Baruch Hashem got married, and he's building a beautiful family now with his amazing wife, and she's telling me, we don't say lama, we say lima, what can we do to grow? And we have to look at the messages that Hashem is sending us, and use it to grow and to be inspired and to come closer to Hashem. Now, obviously, we also have to understand that we have to follow safety rules, and we can't text while we're driving, and I've been in cabs where they're watching soccer games, and they're driving, and they're texting while they're driving, and I feel like that is pikuach nefesh, and we obviously have to follow the physical rules of life, but we have to look beyond that and say, okay, Hashem is speaking to us, He wants us to become a little bit better, let's find those areas that we can be a little bit better. One of the things that I found very inspirational is you read about these karbonos in Meron, and each one was an incredible tzaddik. Many of you knew Dani. My wife was watching the whole thing, and she said, like, it's unbelievable what this kid was like. And there was a Rosh Kol in Beitar who was killed. His dying words was, Amoichel, everybody who's on top of me. And they say he learned 2 starim a day. Each Seder, 5 hours, he didn't move. He sat, and he didn't move from his seat. And these people were very, very inspirational, big tzaddikim. They started thinking, well, what are they going to write about us after 120? So Rabbi Frantz has a story where he went to the cemetery, and he saw a bunch of bowling balls. Live to bowl. Live to bowl. You know, live to bowl, live to eat, live for ball. What are we living for? What are they going to put on our matzeva after 120? And Rabbi Krohn has a story where on Har HaZeisim, there's a matzeva that just says, Zvachim 95. And he tells the story, there was this Rabbi Yoliz in Philadelphia in 1923, got a personal visit from Rameir Shapiro, the founder of Daf Yomi. He tried Daf Yomi, he was an Ian guy, it wasn't for him. Rameir Shapiro pressured him to start Daf Yomi. He lived to be around 98 years old. He went through 8 Daf Yomi cycles, and he wanted his matzeva should say the Daf Yomi of the day that he died. Zvachim Daf Tzadihei. He lived for the Daf, lived for Chesed, lived for Torah, lived for Tefillah, lived for the Kehila, lived for the community. What is it going to say on our matzeva? Live for money, live for sushi, live for Chinese food. This is something that's very, very important and can be very inspiring. So we have to be focus on what's important. We hopefully picked up the importance of consistency and commitment. We have to keep all the mitzvahs all the time. There used to be communities of people where they would wash a bench on Shabbos and not during the week. We do this, oh, I'm not shomer that, I don't believe in that. That I don't do. Like, you know, we're in. If you're in, you're out. We're in. So it's not, chutz midaber ech, no, I don't do that, I'm not. No, we hopefully picked up this year the importance of consistency and commitment, nasev and nishma, not to pick and choose. It doesn't make you brainwashed if you wash and bench during the week. Maybe it makes you brainwashed if you wash and bench only on Shabbos, because like, it doesn't make sense. Either you believe in washing and benching, or you don't believe in washing and benching. To do it sometimes and not others, like, doesn't make sense. So maybe, but if I'm committed and I do what's right, and I'm doing it consistently, so that's not called being brainwashed. So that's very important, picking up this commitment of all the mitzvahs all the time. The Ramban says, we're learning in Perek Eilin Ne'amarin, they talk about the brachas and the klalos. The last klala over there is Aror Hashem Lo Yokim Es Divrei HaTorah Hazos Lazos Osom. Cursed is the one who doesn't uphold the Torah. So the question, what does that mean? So the Ramban says, it doesn't mean someone who makes mistakes. We all make mistakes. We're all human. We sometimes say something we shouldn't say. We sometimes see something we shouldn't see. We do something we shouldn't do. But we have to have that commitment. The Ramban says, one who is not committed, that's who's included God forbid, in this aurora. Perfect? We're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect. Ain't tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yafta. We're not perfect, but we have to be committed. This is what we believe in. This is what we do. Not, I don't believe in this, and I don't believe in that, and I'm not shomer this, and I'm not shomer that. We try to do everything. We do our best. And then if we make mistakes, so Hashem invented something called tshuva, and we get back up on the horse, and we keep going. And in the Tochacha, over there in Kisavo, it talks about lack of simcha. Hashem wants us to do mitzvahs b'simcha. Why is it, what? Hashem, like, it's enough I'm doing a mitzvah. Like, why do you want me to be b'simcha? The simcha shows that we appreciate what we're doing. We understand what it is. It's a tremendous chus. Here we have the master of the universe created everything, and he gave us a special role. He didn't give to other Jews. He could have given to over a billion Chinese and a billion Indians. He gave it to a few little Jews. Some are in Israel. The rest are in Teaneck and the five towns. And we have this chus to do Hashem's mitzvahs. And this is, Hashem wants us not just to do it, here we go again. No, we should appreciate the schus that we have to be serving Hashem and to be doing His mitzvahs. Another thing hopefully picked up this year is priorities. We have to have priorities and we have to understand the far-reaching implications of our decisions. The pasuk says, Vayisa Lot Mikedem. Lot basically, bottom line, had a relationship with Avram Avinu. Avram was his neighbor. Uncle Abe is his neighbor. Uncle Avram Avinu. And he gives up that relationship with Avram Avinu to go to Sodom for the green grass and the green dollars. There was more money in Sodom than there was near Abraham. And he, in doing that, he cut himself off. Chazal say, he said, you know, I have no portion in Abraham and his God and his Torah. Now, Lot didn't really say that. Lot did do Achmasas Lorachim even in Sodom. But when you leave Avram Avinu for Sodom, your actions are announcing that I don't want anything to do with Avram Avinu. That's what your actions are doing. And Rav Nevzal points out in his Sefer that Lot's descendant Rus corrected that terrible mistake. She did the exact opposite. She was a Moabite princess, and she gave up the kingdom to become a Jewish pauper to have that relationship with Hashem. And the consequences of Lot's actions, Ammon and Moab can't marry Jewish. Rus is the mother of Mashiach. We make decisions, and we think that they're not significant. The decisions that we make are super important. The Rav Shimon Schwab went to visit the Chafetz Chaim. He was a young bacher. Chafetz Chaim was the Gadol Hador. And he walks in, and the Chafetz Chaim says, why am I a Kohen and you're not? So Rav Shimon Schwab thought that was a very weird question to get from the Gadol Hador. Well, your father's a Kohen, my father's not a Kohen. But why is my father going, your father not going? Well, because my grandfather's not going, your grandfather. And Rav Shimon Schwab did not know what the Chafetz Chaim wanted from him. He said, because thousands of years ago at the foot of Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu called out Mila Shem Eli, and my grandfather went towards Moshe, and your grandfather did not. And thousands of years later, I'm a Kohen, and you are not a Kohen. And I had the schus to be in charge of Shana Bet here for 4 years. And I would find two guys, Shana Aleph, they're learning, they're growing. And should we come back Shana Bet or not? I felt, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it was kind of like a coin toss. Heads I come back, tails I don't. And one says, okay, I'll come back. And, well, I'm not going to come back. And so one comes back, Shana Bet, and one doesn't. Now, one who doesn't, the minute gives you come back in January, which is beautiful. It comes back in January, and the two guys, they don't recognize each other. Because one kept growing, and the one did a little slipping, and they don't recognize each other anymore. And, you know, the significance of our decisions, the decisions that we make in the, you know, next 2-3 years are going to determine literally future generations, what a wife looks like, spiritually, not physically, our children, our grandchildren. These are super significant decisions. I just heard this recently, but the Rav of my shul spoke about the B'nai Yisro Friday night, and there's a Rashi in Parshas Balak, which we'll get to soon, that Yisro was the father of Moshe Rabbeinu. His children were zochah to sit in the Sanhedrin. Yisro's kids became tremendous. And Bilam, you know, he was a bad guy. So it says when Bilam went to curse the Jews, he spoke to the B'nai Kaini. He spoke to the children of Yisro, and he says, I don't get it. We were in the same kita, we were in the same class. How could it be that Yisro's children reached such great heights and nothing became of me? Now, obviously they didn't do the same thing in the class because they were three of Paro's advisors and Yisro was the one who couldn't tolerate, you know, trying to destroy the Jews and he ran away and Bilam was all for destroying the Jews. But we sat in the same kitab, in the same class. How could it be that he's up here and I'm down here? The decisions that we make are super significant, and we live with them forever. And hopefully another thing that we've learned this year is the importance of growing. We're not here to stay the same. We are on a downward escalator. So just to stay the same, we have to be working hard to grow. And each of us has tremendous, tremendous potential for greatness. We find that in yesterday's parsha, the desire for more. Aaron HaKohen, he wasn't satisfied. He wanted more. It wasn't enough. You're the Kohen Gadol. Yeah, but I didn't get to bring a korban. My shevet didn't bring a korban. I want more. Hashem says, okay, you'll get the menorah. Your chelek is bigger than their chelek. And any of those who didn't get to bring korban Pesach, they were carrying the bones of Yosef, or they were carrying Nadav Aviyah. They were doing a great mitzvah. But I love Lamani Gara. Why should we lose that? We want more and more and more and more. And that's what Judaism is all about. Learning and growing and trying to become better and better and better and wanting more and more and more. Now, I've been talking to some of you and I find it very cute. You think that your Rebbeim got 1600s on their SATs. They were the geniuses through high school and through yeshiva, and therefore they became your Rebbeim. I would tell you, I was Shana Aleph with Rav Wiesner, and I taught Rabbi Felder, and I learned, and I also taught Rav Ami. And I can tell you that your Rebbeim, I don't know if they're any smarter than any of you. And the reason they became who they became is not because of their 1600s on the SATs. It's because of the hard work. The people that succeed in life, both in Ruchnias and in Gashmias, are those that are working hard. If you work hard, you will succeed. Certainly in Ruchnias. In Gashmias, that's up to, Siyat Dishmaya. Some are successful, some are not. In Ruchnias, if you work hard, you succeed. And your Rebbeim put in the hours, many, 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 many hours on Shabbos and during the week and on Friday and in the morning and afternoon and night, and they put in the time, and therefore they become who they become. And I think that that is in all of us, have that potential to, we don't have to become this Rebbe, that Rebbe, we have to become the best that we can become. But we all have tremendous kochos and tremendous potential, and we can all become very, very great. I have a close friend that many of you probably know named Lavi Greenspan. Lavi Greenspan, I grew up with him. He became blind when we were 26 years old. So I lived for 3 years in Beit Vegan before I moved to Beitar, and Lavi called me up. He said, I'm coming to Israel. I really want to eat a meal by Rav Nemezov. Can you get me a meal by Rav Nemezov? Can you eat with me? So my wife said, okay. She'll let me eat the Suda in the Old City, and then I'll walk back to Beit Vegan after the Suda. So we arranged a meal by Rav Nemezov. We went to Davin in Ramban, and this was amazing. After Davining, Rav Nemezov insisted on walking Lavi arm in arm back to his house. I found that very amazing. And then, those of you who know Lavi, he's a very big tzaddik. He insisted on helping. He wanted to help the Rebbetzin. Now, he's blind. It's very hard to help somebody when you're blind. So we're like fighting, and I said, Now, in the middle of the meal, so he wanted to help set the table or something. This was a long time ago. And in the middle of the meal, Rav Nemezov disappeared. He disappeared. And then Lavi wanted to, help serve the soup. Okay, Lavi, ad kan. Lavi, you're not helping serve the soup. He says, no, I need to help the Rebbetzin. I said, okay, I'll help the Rebbetzin. You sit down, I'll help the Rebbetzin. He says, no, I need schuyos, I need mitzvahs. I said, Lavi, you're a big tzaddik. You sit down, I'm going to help the Rebbetzin. I'm not a tzaddik. And I said, you are a tzaddik. And we had this silly debate in front of Rebbetzin Nevenzal, and Rav Nevenzal disappeared. So I'm screaming, you're a tzaddik, sit down. He said, I'm not a tzaddik, I need mitzvahs, I need schuyos. So we're fighting, and the Rebbetzin took my side. Lavi, kanere, it seems that you are a tzaddik. And that minute, Rav Nevenzal came back. So the Rebbetzin turns to Rav Nevenzal, to pask in the shayla. Is Lavi a tzaddik, or is Lavi not a tzaddik? So the Rebbe says, we have a machlekes here. We say Lavi's a tzaddik. He says, not a tzaddik. And Lavi says, I'm not a tzaddik. So Rav Nevenzel said, Ein Adam Meisi Matzmo Rasha. It's a halachic principle. You're not allowed to turn yourself into a Rasha. So Lavi says, I'm not a tzaddik, and I'm not a Rasha. I'm a Beinoni. And Rav Nevenzel says, this is unbelievable. Rav Nevenzel said, if you have potential to be a tzaddik, and you're just a Beinuni, that makes you a Rasha. The Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha. So we all have tremendous potential, and we have to work on that, and we can't get distracted. We got to keep our eye on the ball. We have to be strong. We have to be proud of who we are. We have to have the self-confidence to know that we are doing the right thing. We have to be keep in touch with our Rebbe. We have to have a chevra. The relationships that you make these years in Israel are the strongest relationships there are. It's amazing. The people that you've grown with and you've mamish built yourself up into who you've become, you have to keep those connections. You have to come back, you know, in January and recharge the batteries and keep in touch with your Rebbeim and your friends. I was sitting in YU and one of our friends was having a very, very, very hard time with his parents. Very, very, very. So a bunch of us decided that he needs chizuk. One of us should go fly to a certain city for Yantif to give this one of the chevra chizuk. So they voted on me that I should go fly for Yantif to visit this guy. I thought they were going to pay for the ticket, but so I went to spend Yantif with his friend to give him chizuk and give him support because, you know, it's very hard. Now, there was the olden days where we didn't have cell phones and we couldn't call our Rebbeim and we couldn't call our friends. It was much, much more complicated and difficult to keep in touch. And you have to leave here, and if you're leaving, if you're coming back, that's amazing, and set yourselves up for success to continue learning and growing and understand that this is what it's all about. And everything else is the background and the scenery and not important and just a quick chazara. We have to be focused. Olam Hazeh is a game of hide and seek. Hashem is hiding. We have to seek Him. We have to keep our eye on the ball. Hashem is speaking to us. We have to be consistent and have that commitment to keeping all the mitzvahs all the time. We have to have our priorities straight. We have to understand the decisions that we make. It's not, you know, a little this, a little more that. Some of the decisions, many of the decisions that we make have lifelong and implications forever. And that we're here for growth, and we can grow, and we have potential to be great, and we have to utilize that potential to become all that we can become. Hatzlocha Rabbah!